we have seen how the road is going to the site of temple.
We were planning, Ramananda and I just made plans for tomorrow morning to see some certain lands have newly been purchased, and we wanted to see everything tomorrow morning.
So, I'm going to answer that.
Really? Good.
So we have to decide whether we shall wait or we shall begin in our own.
Well, one point in favor of beginning is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 500th anniversary is approaching.
Yeah,
and
I
think 9 years now.
8 years.
Huh? Eight or nine.
Eight or nine years from now.
So I know in
yes, that is very nice.
It must be completed by then, if not before.
So now we make arrangement. The prasad arrangement is very good. Give me one plate tomorrow.
What time?
What time you are ready?
We are always ready, Srila Prabhupada.
Acha?
Any time of the day or night you can have full prasad.
No, fresh, prepare.
Fresh?
Oh. What time will be suitable?
Probably at noon already, because they cook those.
Noon time?
12:30. 1.
That's nice. 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Make arrangement for prasad distribution. Any center. For that we have to work hard, we have to collect, we have to beg, borrow, steal, everything. Prasad is to and give. Here, your distribution principle, having kirtan or not?
I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada.
When you distribute prasad, do you have kirtan?
Yes, up and down the aisle. When we're distributing the big prasad, then we have a kirtan party.
We must be a kirtan.
Always.
In New York, because we have the restaurant there, we always have prasadam ready and available for guests throughout the day and evening. Full prasadam. Because the restaurant facility is there.
Very good question.
And very respectable gentlemen are coming.
We still
will not accept such nice prasad. We cannot get in ordinary restaurants such nice prasad.
And we give them as much as they can eat. There's no limitation on quantity.
They're very glad.
Some of them come for thirds and fourths. Regular customers.
And they have a cart that goes on the street. Keeps it hot.
A distribution.
Yes. Regularly, I went to see it. Regularly, people are coming. Even the taxi drivers.
Here, here also, they're selling. They're paying some sense. Khichdi and all that. And the people are very nice. This should be continued. Prasad, this too.
They say prasadam is our secret weapon.
Yes. They say?
Yes. Many people are understanding now how we are defeating the enemy with prasad. People become addicted. Some devotees, I've noted, sometimes some weak devotees, they leave our movement. But still, in New York, even after leaving, they have to come every evening for their regular meals in the restaurant because they are addicted to the prasadam. They cannot do without it.
What do you supply in the restaurant?
Restaurant supplies two or three sabjis.
Two, three.
At least. Then puris, chapati, then samosa or pakora, kachori. And then
sweet rice also.
Sweet rice every day. Sweet rice, halwa.
Right. This is.
And then also dal and a soup, vegetable soup. Some people like cream of vegetable soup. And salad, fresh salads, and drinks, orange juice, different kinds of juices.
Some cookies.
Cookies, cakes, breads.
On first class. You have got so many items here?
No.
But here it's prepared better. Here the cooking is more expert. They are not as... We are thinking that one of the cooks from New York, I'm going to suggest to Kartikeya Mahadevi, or now actually I think I will just have her come here, you know. But I wanted one of the cooks from New York to come to India for 1 or 2 months to learn how to cook properly. So that, because one
can come here.
Yes, here will be best.
Yeah, that's how it makes.
Because the one thing we don't get many people is the Indian people to eat in the restaurant, because they are accustomed to more spices. And unless one is expert at the, you know, he will not cook properly the spices. So we're thinking to bring one of the cooks here to learn for a couple of months.
That's nice.
Because the Indians will come like anything to the restaurant if it is nicely prepared foodstuffs.
They want delicious, spicy.
Spicy, yes. The Western palate is bland food. They don't like too much spice.
No. They simply take boiled little black pepper and salt. That is also stale meat. That is a, and then they drink coffee and tea.
Yeah, and liquid and cigarette. And cigarette for digestion.
And their loaf that is 300 years old. With little butter. Right?
Actually, they are eating just like prisoners.
So from restaurant, they have got good income there?
Yes, approximately, let's see, I would say between $7,500 and $10,000 a month. That is not all profit, but that is the gross income. Profit, at least more than half profit. Much milk products are used. We supply the temple and the restaurant from the farm 400 gallons of milk per week.
You get from the farm?
Yes, every week we give the New York temple 400 gallons of milk.
And you turn into chana?
Chana and also milk, straight as milk. The devotees get sufficient milk and also cheese, yes, for cooking.
Sunday, that's what that.
Oh, yes, all of the sweets are made. New York, in America, New York is known for its good milk sweets. Ramananda was the
first.
New Vrindavan.
New Vrindavan also. Sandesh, Rasgulla, Gulab Jamun, Burfi.
And ghee?
No, because...
Ghee you take from Nimbindam?
No, they don't have sufficient to give. The trouble with ghee, it is not a trouble, but one thing is this, that when you make ghee, it only uses 4 or 5% of the milk. Then the balance of the milk becomes skim milk. So what we want to do is, there's a machine that can be purchased for making the skim milk into powdered milk. With that powdered milk, we can send it to India. Otherwise, there's so much waste of the leftover.
You can send the powdered meat.
Yes. So
there's
as soon
good demand for powdered meat.
As soon as there's sufficient production of milk, they're going to get this machine.
But it'll be powdered skim milk.
Then that man, yeah, it will be sold yet.
Because you can use it in a greater quantity, then it becomes thick again. Of course, it doesn't make it richer and powdered milk.
In India, practically everywhere, powdered milk.
We can use powdered milk.
They are purchasing by barrel.
Mm-hmm. This will be a good exchange for books, perhaps.
Yeah.
Actually, I brought you a very nice report, which I think you may like to keep and show to visitors. It's notarized, all about the production at that farm. So if anyone wants to see what...
Pennsylvania.
Yes, and it's a notarized report, giving me everything, the value of the farm as well as the production for 1 year. So I can give it to science.
What do I need?
I originally composed this for Mahamsa Swami, but I thought I would bring a copy for your, you know, so when guests come. Should I read it?
Yeah.
ISKCON Farm Report, Port Royal, Pennsylvania Report for year 1976. ISKCON Incorporated of New York owns a prime farm in Juanita County of Pennsylvania. The land is nearly 400 acres in size, valued at around $500 per acre or $200,000. In addition, the buildings on the property consist of the following: barn worth $40,000, outbuildings worth $10,000, calf barn $25,000, equipment $50,000, residential building $45,000, guest house and public kitchen and prashadam pavilion $75,000, and silos $20,000. Total, including land, $465,000. The purpose of this farm is to produce foodstuffs to meet all the needs of the farm community as well as the needs of our temples in New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Baltimore. Another purpose is to demonstrate the principle of cow protection, as we are strict vegetarians and do not believe in slaughtering cows. Our herd of cows is Brown Swiss, and they are rated amongst the top 1% of dairy cow herds in the United States. All of the cows are pedigreed. Our farm holds 50 milk cows and 50 young cows, heifers. The milk cows milk an average of 40 kilos of milk per day in their first month of lactation and an average 25 kilos per day over the whole year. We have 140 acres of cropland and 30 acres of pasture, the balance being woods, primarily hardwood, which is excellent for fuel. On the land, we grow not only all the food for the residents, but also for the cows. The following is the yield for 1976. Corn, 200 tons. Soybeans, 10 tons. Barley, 10 tons. Oats, 10 tons.
What do you do with these heavens?
The soybeans are ground and given to the cows.
In the winter?
In the winter time. This way the
cows... Very nutritious.
Very nutritious. Mm. The cows give more milk according to how much nutritious foods you give them.
Oh, yeah.
So much of this, what we produce, is given for the cows because the cows cannot graze year-round because for about 4 or 5 months there's too cold weather, 4 months, so they have to have stock of stuff, of food. Oats, 10 tons, wheat, 10 tons. The wheat is, you tasted the chapati.
Excellent.
Very tasty.
Nearby there's a mill and they grind the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh. Near to our farm is a mill where they grind the wheat fresh.
Our mill?
No.
We are going to get one now. It's not difficult to have a mill. Hay, 45 tons.
In India, they practice what? Hand grinding.
Hand grinding.
Daily. Yeah. The old man will do that. That's the exercise for them. And that keeps their body fit and beautiful.
Oxen can also grind, I think.
Hmm?
Can oxen also?
No, there's no need of oxen. Individually, small grinding, chakki. And in the morning, they chant Hare Krishna and grind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. This is very nice process. Whatever they require for the day, they grind. Fresh. very nice. And actually, by this exercise, they keep their body beautiful.
Keeps them well engaged.
And engagement. Jasodamai was doing that. She is the queen of Nanda Maharaj. What to speak of all of them? Churning milk, grinding the wheat. This is their household. We have got that picture. Mm-hmm. Full engagement. Otherwise, gossiping.
Trouble.
And whispering for love. That's whispering or whispering?
Whispering.
Idle brain, devils also. Then?
In the year 1976, we cultivated 5 acres of vegetables, including 24 tons of potatoes. We also have 25 beehives, which produce 100 pounds of honey per hive. There is also a fruit orchard with 150 trees, including apples, pears, peaches, and plum trees. Lastly, we are fortunate to have 2 natural pure water mountain springs running continuously all year. The water is being bottled and then distributed. We take that water to New York.
They digest it?
Oh, yeah. And water sells now for $1 a gallon in New York. It's a good market. So we at ISKCON Farm look forward to an even more bountiful harvest in the year 1977. This is subscribed and sworn before me by a notary public. So it is official report.
Very good report. This is what's concerning our... If we develop our farms in India and this place, it will be very nice. We have got greater land. We have got 450 acres. There was 600. No? Now it requires development.
Mahansa was calling for this because he said that by showing this, he wants to get a big grant of money.
They simply want money. Money will surely be supplied, let them show someone.
Paramananda may be able to come to help them.
To give them the exam. It will be very nice. If Paramananda comes, we can invest money without any hesitation. And he has got experience.
Well, certainly, when Adikesh comes here, I'll be talking to him about this point. He may be able to come and go to that.
Similarly, we can develop farm here only. Farm development is Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is tending cows and Balaram is plowing. Therefore, the plow and fruit for tending cows and plow for agriculture. Krishna was. Actually, also we have got good opportunity at this farm project.
Yes, actually, one of our members in Mombasa, he wanted to buy a farm. Unfortunately, Chayavana rejected it. Anyway, he went and bought the farm for $80,000. And now he's developed it, and it's a wonderful farm. We went there for a program. It's very productive. He has one manager, an Indian manager, and the Africans do all the work. Has cows and mangoes and growing vegetables. And he's very thankful to us because we helped him.
Get the idea.
Yeah. But he's our good friend and supporter. He will help us in Mombasa very much.
Yes, farm project is very nice. कृष्ण के किसी गौरवशावान जम्बेश्वर दिस इज इकोनॉमिक प्रॉब्लम सॉल्व ब्राह्मण ब्रेन प्रॉब्लम सॉल्व एंड क्षत्रिय प्रोटेक्शन प्रॉब्लम सॉल्व एंड शुद्ध लेवर प्रॉब्लम सॉल्व फोर थिंग्स कंबाइंड टुगेदर लिव पीसफुल हैप्पी चैंट हरे कृष्ण इंट्रोड्यूस दिस फार्म प्रोजेक्ट इन अमेरिका देयर इज एनाफ स्कोप सो मच लैंड इज लाइक बेटर देयर आर जंगल कट द जंगल यूज द वुड दैट देयर आर वर्जीनिया बिग बिग जंगल You cut the woods, you get ground, open field, and if you like, the logs for house making. Food, shelter, everything is there. And everything, everywhere, is nature's way. Purnam Jam, everything complete, arrangement by Krishna. We have little work. Sarira jatra vite na prasiddhe dakarvan. As you sit idly, then you start. Otherwise, everything is there. You work little and get your all necessity. Eko je bahunam vidadati kama. That one person, God, is supplying everyone. Whatever necessity, you have to simply work little. That is material world. In the material world, you have to work. And in the spiritual world, there is no question of work. Whatever you require, you desire, everything is there. Chintamani, prakarasalmasu, kalpavikha. You get everything as soon as you desire. Come not to work. Then spiritual. And material world, to get your necessity, you have to work. You get this flower, little working, grow the seeds, put little water, and it is. And spiritual world, as soon as you desire, I want this flower, it is. There also Maya is working. Maya means energy, Krishna's energy. Here also energy is working. Bijo Hangasago Bhutana. Krishna is preparing the seed. You have to work. You cannot prepare the seed. That is Krishna's energy. You cannot prepare the seed in your so-called rational level. There you are. Is it possible? Now why is there so much proud of their scientific knowledge? Our Swarup Damodar is convened in this so-called scientific book.
He is in Bombay now. He saw him. Giriraj wants to arrange some lectures for him at the schools and colleges.
These are combined into PhD, DSC. Challenges, so-called scientists, all over the world. Among the scientists, if you speak of God, they will deny it. They will reject it. Is it not?
To some extent, yes. but...
No, it is private to speak of God. Among the scientists.
But in India, if he speaks in India to the scientists, they will receive it much more readily.
In Eastern countries, they have no bread.
Cow dung.
Cow dung. Cow dung, no? Man's dung. One professor, Mr. Cameron, English professor, he was a sportsman in our IA class or BA class. Yes. So that time Patel's bill, inter-caste marriage, we had young men, we were supporting. So before the professor coming in the blackboard, we wrote, da-dang, dang, Patel's bill, dang, and like that. So in Bengali. The professor Cameron came, he saw the boy there, written down. So he simply read it, remained silent. Then he began his teaching. Then when the hour is over, he raised the blackboard and he wrote. He wrote in this way, Jakhon tomra BA pass korbe, tokhon tomra BA korte pabe. He wrote it and read it. So the purpose is, tomra jakhon, when you will pass your BA examination, then you will be allowed to marry. Now you don't talk of this pattern. So we clapped him. It was very nice. Mr. Cameron.
He was a good professor.
Hmm?
He was a good
man. Oh, yes. All this. Well, we had all Scottish professors and all English professors. He was Mr. Warren. Otherwise, Mr. Skinner, Mr. Cameron, Dr. Arquard. We had all European professors.
They were a little strict. They were strict.
No, they were very good thinking. Dr. Arquard was a godly man. He was so nice.
Isn't he the one who said that woman's brain?
Huh?
The woman's brain is 30.
Yes, yes. I remember he taught the woman's brain at 54 hours, man's brain up to 64 hours. He taught. He was very saintly man, Dr. Arquard. And before that there was one incident. He was Watt, Mr. Watt. He was the roughest man. He'd fight with the student like Gunda. Mr. Watt. But he was a very good manager, principal.
Did they try to make you Christian like that?
No, that was Bible class compulsory. Jains, giant. And Maharaj, they could not convert any gentleman to Mahamudan. Maybe one or two, very similarly Christian also. No high class man. One or two. That is for some other purpose. Just like the Scottish Church is called, the Christian Indians have given more purpose. There was one Mr. Rai. He did not speak in Bengal. Even some Bengali student would like to talk with him in Bengal, he would answer in English. He was so sharp. I'm sharp man here. क्या साहब क्या पुल बनाया साहब कंपनी वेलेशन हिंदी हिंदी आते देर इज अ सॉन्ग वी हावड़ा ब्रिज पोंटून ब्रिज सो एंड इज हावड़ा ब्रिज नॉट दिस ब्रिज अप टू 1900 व्हेन माय डॉटर वाज मैरिड In 1941. Up to that time, there was a bridge connecting Howrah and Calcutta, Pontoon Bridge. That we are saying, seeing from childhood, from our birth. So, this was an astonishment in India. They wrote song, Kya Pul Banaya Sahab Company. How wonderful bridge this Sahab Company, because India was being governed by East India Company. After mutiny, Queen Victoria took care. Otherwise, the British government was known as Company Raja, East India Company. So, the East India Company, they constructed this temple as bridge. So there is a song, Kya Pul Banaya Sahab Company. Upar mein gari chale, nindi chale, aadami, like that. So this East India Company, therefore this railway was known East India Railway. Railway from Calcutta to Burdwan. Beginning of it. There is no railway.
When was the railway first built?
I think around 128. Because about 20 years ago we are centenary, 100 years. Local produce was not exported. So everything was cheap in the village because we have to consume. Whatever is produced in the village, we have to consume. And this British, they introduced railway and drew everything in the village to the town. They will not sell in the village. They will get good price in the city. Otherwise, in the village, everything was very cheap. Very, very cheap. Milk, vegetables, rice, dal, everything. And the British are, they have no food. They have got only the potato. In England, what they produce?
Oh, yeah.
No food. So, everything was expensive. Their policy was to supply manufactured goods and take raw materials from India. So they supplied cotton goods. They saw that all India using cotton cloth. Iron. They introduced railway line. All iron, the carriage, the wheel, the road, everything in this way they became prosperous. And the Indian people, they saw, they were educated because they are fond of going to a pilgrimage. By walking, they will go. Suppose from here, nowadays one has to go to Vrindavan. He'll make his will, because he does not know whether he'll come back or not. Long distance, 1,000 miles, they have to go by on leg. They used to go. So they are advertised to know. So now you'll have not to walk. The company, they're making very easy-going railway. So they received it. Oh, kya pulva naya tha. But their idea was to draw all the raw material from villages and send it to India.
But they advertised. Now you can go.
Now you can go to Tirtha. By nice day. And they thought, oh, how beneficial are an English British company. They're giving us so much facility. And English education, they wanted to conduct their office affairs, they required some class. They did not want any highly educated class here, ABCD, that's all. Yes, no, very good. And as soon as you learn, yes, no, very good, you get 50 rupees. So they gave up living in that. That time 50 rupees is now 5,000. So they all entered the school. English education, ABCD, yes, nobody. This is British policy. Otherwise, India was very happy.
Do you want
anything
to
eat? No.
China?
No. Here is something, here. Yeah?
Let's go
again. If I require, I'll take. So, Gandhi discovered, and the discovery was there, Surendranath. So they are exploiting us, so non-cooperative. They are ruling over us by our cooperation. So let us non-cooperate. But that is but a foolish policy, poverty-stricken country, how they can non-cooperate? That was not successful. this program. Subhash Bose, tit for tat. They're keeping our men as soldiers and police. And by their strength, they're ruling over India. And Subhash has made a plan. The soldiers and police will not come. They'll join his army. And when they began to join Indian National Army, this intelligent Britishers could understand, now it is no more possible. And with whose cooperation we shall keep this. Then they made a friendly settlement. Friendly means
divided.
So that they will perpetually fight and let
it
go.
It seems like that division was simply spiteful.
That is not politics.
There was no purpose to it.
No.
What did England gain from the
Gain means they are now finished. They have gained this. They have no prestige, no money.
What was their gain from dividing India and Pakistan?
Oh, that is enviousness.
Yeah, just spiteful envious.
Enviousness. That's like you like who has done something wrong to you. You like to do some wrong.
That was Churchill. Churchill followed
you. At that time, not Churchill. Atili was prime minister.
In Africa, Nehru, he was instructing the African leaders also how to get
freedom.
So they all followed the Indian example. The British, they were very resentful against the Indians.
Yes, the British making.
They became the leaders of the independence.
Driver of the Indians.
Even now they're still resentful.
Yes.
Even now they're trying to drive them out of England.
Huh? Oh, yes. They are offering some compensation. They take some money and go out.
Yes.
Indians are prosperous in England.
Yeah. Wherever they go, they're prosperous. In America now.
South Africa.
In America, they are afraid because the doctors, a huge percentage of the American doctors are Indians.
Now they have stopped. No more Indian doctors.
They won't give any more doctorate degrees to Indians because they're taking over the whole medical profession.
In England also. They prefer Indian medical.
They've done that already.
Huh?
The whole medical profession runs on Indians.
They prefer public life Indian medical.
Yeah, they want that.
Because they take more care.
Yes.
They know about the soul. They know that they care about the person.
Yeah. I know in England they like Indian doctors. And last time when I was in London, civil surgeon, he was Bengali. This Aurobindo's father, he was a medical practitioner. Aurobindo was born in London. He was English born.
Hmm.
Yeah. His father, Dr. Manmohan Ghosh, was a medical man. So although he was British born, he became an enemy. Very bad money.
That means good. I know when I was going to get that operation, I didn't want to go to America. I would rather have gotten it here, even though the machines may not have been so modern. The fact that the Indian doctors were here was more reassurance than the Americans. They're very...
Careless.
Oh, one girl. Now, there's a devotee named Madhusudan. Mm. You may remember one of your disciples. His name is Madhusudan. Anyway, his cousin has joined us in New York. Mm. So this boy, he's married to a girl who was the chief nurse for the biggest neurosurgeon in America, who operated on Kennedy, very big man. So she told us something about the medical profession. Mm. Some examples. She said the American doctors are extremely cruel. And one time...
Cruel, they must be. They're eating meat.
She was describing that one time they were all looking at this x-ray of one of the patients who had had severe pain. And inside the x-ray, they saw that during the operation, they had left the scissors and scalpel in the man's body. And all the doctors were standing there laughing as if it was a big joke. They thought it was a big joke. For a long time, the patient had had much pain in the side, and he did not know why. And they took x-ray, and they found the scissors and the scalpel left inside. And the doctors thought it was a big joke.
Then again,
another operation. Then another thing they was describing, that there was a patient who was dying. There was no chance of his recovery. But still, in order to get, the man was a big man, so the television was covering because he was an important political figure. So the doctor performed this big brain operation, even though there was no purpose whatsoever, so that he could get advertised on the television as a very important doctor. And at one point he said, now bring in the television. And he cut the man's head and did a whole operation for no purpose at all. The person died anyway. But he was given advertisement that he is the most important surgeon. And they talk amongst themselves. She knew
all. They're arranging mind-brain operation.
They threatened us. They threatened us that it must be done. That you must stay in the hospital. They refused that you should leave the hospital. And they wanted to take all these tests, put needles in the spine.
I read a story when we were in the U.S. about one doctor there. They took him to court, and they described how, in order to get money, he was doing a very specialized operation on the spine. And he would tell people, for any reason at all, he would tell them that they must have this operation, even when it wasn't necessary. And he was taking, at the same time, 8 amphetamines every day to keep himself going. And he made so many mistakes. And all these people, after the operations, they would come in, they were paralyzed, or one man, his skin became so sensitive that he couldn't wear a shirt or anything because it was too painful, and another person would be crippled in another way from his mistakes that he made. And he was doing it simply on the basis to get more money. And at the same time, he was living in a $100,000 house and maintaining big cars and like that. And when they investigated him, they found out all these things.
The whole profession is crooked. She told that they have a cure for cancer. There's a cure for cancer. It comes from a natural herb available in South America. But the American Medical Association has forbidden the importation of this herb, because if they import it, then all of their cancer work is finished. And they're making billions of dollars doing cancer research. So they won't allow this herb to be imported. It has no bad effect, but they will not allow its importation. So one of our devotees, Jayananda, you know, he has cancer now.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he has a very severe case of cancer.
They say he will die.
All over his body, these nodule protrusions have come. Big lumps growing out. Cancerous growth. After this happened. So he went into the hospital, and they nearly killed him in the hospital. Practically, they put so many tests on him that he was nearly dead. He lost 50, 60 pounds. He was practically dead. So then when I heard of this, I got him out of the hospital. because I worked with no purpose. I could understand they didn't know what they were doing. They were just testing. So then he went. He's now in Tijuana, Mexico. And since taking this medicine, all of the growths have gone away. Now, how long he will live, that is another matter. But immediately, all of these symptoms, outward symptoms, they have gone simply by taking this medical. Yes, the special medicines. So, but they won't, this is illegal. You have to go outside the United States. Even though they know about it, they won't allow it to come in because then they will lose so much money. This girl who joined us, she was telling the most horrible things. She said that all she had to quit the profession because she could not stand to be doing this kind of work with these people, the so-called doctors. They were so cruel and cheaters.
When Gargamuni took you out of the hospital, they threatened that now you will not recover, and now it is our responsibility what we are doing. They tried to force that.
I couldn't understand. They were very sad. Now I'm quite. They are arranging for my brain operation. Very dangerous.
This brain thing now, another thing they have done, these, one of the things they do now in the hospitals is they give this shock treatment on the brain. And then
they put electricity into
the deprogrammers are using this. They call it psychological readjustment. And they put electrical
wires. They put some machine in my head.
Well, that was for testing the brain waves. But this way, they put electric current into the brain.
And burn part of the brain. Destroy the brain.
Destroy some of the
brain. One girl in our temple in New York, formerly, her father is the owner of Finance Foods, which is a very big food market chain, like A&T supermarket. Very big, and her father owned it. So she, when she was young, or before joining, she was a hippie. So her father didn't like that she was a hippie. So he had her put in the mental institution, and for 120 days in a row, every day, they gave her these shock treatments. And now she cannot remember hardly anything. When you talk to her, she is just like, almost like a vegetable. I mean to say, she cannot function as a normal person because her brain has been destroyed. Her father was trying to make her normal. Still, she has become a devotee. Now her father has again called her, telling her that he wants to have her go to the hospital to make her more sane. He's destroyed his daughter, but he doesn't see that. I don't know if I told you about the prison of Texas. Did I tell that story? No? Recently, about a month ago, this will give you an indication of the nature of how many people are becoming in America, and especially the authorities are becoming very, very unjust. One man had a son in Texas, and the boy was smoking marijuana for, was smoking for about a month or two. So for 2 weeks, when his father came to know, his father was telling him he should stop this smoking of marijuana. But the boy continued to smoke it. So one night, the father came into the boy's room, took out a gun, and shot his brains, killed him.
Killed him?
Killed his own son, because he was smoking marijuana. He couldn't stand that the boy was smoking marijuana. Then after killing him, he went to the police and turned himself in. So he came before the judge, woman judge, and he said that I could not help it. This boy is my son, and look what he was doing. It is abominable. I had to kill him. And the judge said, yes, I can understand your feelings. It was intolerable. And she let the man go without one day jail sentence. No reprimand either. So this is the thing that is starting to happen now, that they are lobbying in the Congress in the United States to pass laws that if someone is abnormal, then the parent should have the right to commit him to psychological treatment. Even the child may be 50 years old, and the parent may be 7 years old. If the parents think the child is not sane, then they have the right to get the child. So this is being passed in a couple of states. And already in California,
this is very dangerous.
One of our devotees in California was kidnapped out of the airport. She was distributing books in the airport in San Francisco. And because the court gave an order to the parents that for 30 days you can take your daughter and commit her. So they have brought her to Arizona, where they have a special center set up for deprogramming, psychological, legal psychological tests. So for 30 days they ran these, they did some, we don't know what's going on there, you know, some horrible things. Now the girl has sent a letter and it shows that she is no longer a, you know, in a devotional attitude. She said, I'm very glad that I was rescued, otherwise I would have been made to collect for, you know, money all my life for your society, and now I'm saved from this.
And then, she has been dictated to that like that.
Oh yeah. But she has been, probably they did some brain thing to her.
That is brainwash.
Yeah, that is brainwash. In fact, they may have given her shock treatments.
And drugs.
They give very heavy drugs with the idea that they will make her forget about Krishna. And now they will bring her to court to testify against the society. That they did this to me, the society was making me do this, and that now I'm much healthier. It's a dangerous position. It's actually a dangerous position. Because they're very powerful. There are many lobbying people. In other words, they're big groups of Christian, Jewish groups. They're especially active because they see that these other movements, not only ours, are taking the young people away from their religions. So they are actively collecting money and giving it to these deprogrammers. They are supplying funds, just like one man gave me this Phoenix, Arizona center a donation of $100,000 to set up their center for taking these young people. And they're internationally organized. They have big centers all over the world now.
In London, France,
Canada,
Australia.
The problem is that we are, actually it's a fact that many of these groups are bad. They're cheating. Of course, ours is not, but because they're not very intelligent, they cannot see the distinction. Probably, as a result of this court case, we will make them aware that now the other groups are bogus, but we are not. That they'll have to admit. That will be the effect. But at least up until now, we are being lumped in with these other bad groups, cults, they call them. But it's a very dangerous thing. Therefore, the lawyers and all of these scholars and intelligentsia of the United States is very alarmed that this is a great treading on human rights. This is a great danger to human rights. Because the Fifth Amendment of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution guarantees the freedom of religion. But according to these laws that they want to pass, a parent can say, it is not a question of religion, my son has become abnormal. So who is to say what is religion and what is abnormal? They're saying this is not religion. So we have to prove, no, this is, Hare Krishna is a religion. Otherwise, they're saying that this is abnormal. Now, just our lawyer has pointed out that if you say that the preaching, that the devotee's preaching is brainwashing, then you must say that every single Christian priest who preaches, he's also brainwashing.
Yeah.
You must condemn all preaching. So this is against the amendment, the constitutional and First Amendment. So there's a big constitutional case. This court case has great interest to all the people who are into civil rights and things in the United States, because it is testing the freedom of religion. It's a test case. It's the biggest test case of this decade in the United States. And the American Civil Liberties Union is taking this up as their main one of their very main, you know, points of fighting now, all over the United States. They're defending. Of course, there are many groups also who are insisting, we will fight, but only for Hare Krishna. We're not going to align ourselves with a general group. They wanted to give a name, as Brahmananda was saying, and they insisted that it must include the Hare Krishna. The name of our organization must include the Hare Krishna.
This is a group of scholars and intelligent people who want to help Hare Krishna, in other words, friends of Hare Krishna. So, actually, it was some of our devotees, they suggested that the name of this group should not say Hare Krishna, it should say Friends of God Conscious People, or something like that. Because they thought the word Hare Krishna makes some negative
reaction.
Well, so, Hare Krishna is alien.
Yeah.
So, one of the big scholars, he said that, I will not join any organization if Krishna's name is not there.
Because I want to fight.
I want to fight for Hare Krishna.
That is wonder. That is wonder. You wonder.
This man is very prominent, Harvey Cox. He's the most prominent theologian, in the United States. Or one of the
popular.
Very big man. He's very active. He's organizing everything. He and that Dean Kelly. What is his position?
He is National Council of Churches.
Yeah, he's the head of the National Council of Churches, is Dean Kelly, and he's a very big proponent of our movement also.
Well, Krishna is sending.
Oh, yeah, we're going to win. But actually, it is a dangerous situation how the government is becoming so callous in the United States.
They compare it to Russia, because in Russia, the system is if someone goes against the
state,
they put him in a mental hospital. They don't put him in jail, but in a mental hospital.
And kill him.
And they give, practically kill him. So they say now the same thing is happening in America.
It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada, though, that the devotees didn't want to mention Krishna's name. The devotees.
Being afraid of.
That's like when you first met an International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Yes.
Father,
they have taken it very seriously to stop.
Oh, yes. Because their own young children, the future of the country, are joining these cults.
Two states have now passed laws that making this deprogramming legal, and also they have given tax exemption. That means the government is giving
support.
And they're even talking that maybe the government will give financial grant.
Yes, they are afraid that these Krishna conscious men may capture the government.
Yeah. Some of them are saying like that. This organization of the Krishna Consciousness is a very powerful organization, and their ambition is to take over the world.
That's a fact. Well, let us see. It is a fight between Krishna and demons. Let us do our duty and chant Hare Krishna. Everything is all right. There are so many demons. Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old boy, and his father is such a big demon. The fight was at home. He said, Prahlad Maharaj, gain victory. Similarly, you are all Prahlad Maharaj, and your father's great demon. The fight is there. Chant Hare Krishna. Depend on Krishna. You come out victorious. Nrisimha Dev will come. So, poison out his son. He's acting now. That is good. If we come out victorious, then it will be a great victory.
And we're going to. All of the intelligent people acknowledge, all the newspapers, everybody who we talk to confidentially, they all say, you cannot lose this case. And everyone is surprised why that DA is pushing this case.
He's getting salary, that's
all. Yeah, it's
he's trying to make
political.
A name for himself.
Money.
Because it's a foolish
unless thing. He makes devices and talks very over-intelligently, how will he get money? Just like the so-called scientist says, and doctor says, big jugglery of art, and they get money.
They have their doctors and psychiatrists now. Just as we are getting armed with so many statements, they are also gathering together their groups of doctors and psychiatrists to all attest to the fact that they are malignancy. They're trying to get behind them some men, but the men are not as of much consequence as our people are. But then, you see, another thing they do is that they cause trouble through other processes. For instance, they will audit the accounts, look into the society's monies, and they'll try to
give us trouble in so many ways.
So many ways. So we have to be very careful.
Did you hear in Argentina?
Yeah, a little bit, just a little bit.
They are banned, our society, and also Guru Maharaj Ji.
And Jehovah's Witnesses.
Because these societies go against the Argentine culture, morals, and nationhood.
And
so we have to close.
It's already closed.
And they seized our books.
Books were seized for $20,000 worth of books.
But there has been some reports in the newspapers that Argentina now is a military dictatorship, and it's very bad place. Many people are being taken and shot regularly.
Now, but also in Venezuela, there now the government wants to audit the accounts. They're asking for a public auditing
of our books.
Of our books.
We public property?
Audit.
They want to check our books, what we are collecting and how we are spending.
You have to be very cautious in dealing in these countries. We talked with Vidyananda Maharaj. He said now that they are changing their tactic a little bit. They are becoming more cautious. Because before they were too bold. Just like Brahmananda was describing when he first went to Africa. They had the van
with loudspeakers, and we were very ambitious. So the people, they'd never seen anything like this, and so they accepted it. But then after a while, they resent it. It's become too much. Yeah. Actually, the governments feel very threatened. That was one of the reasons why you were not permitted to land in Kenya. Because it was so much advertised, they put banners across the main avenue, and radio, TV announcements, posters. They saw this as something that will eclipse their government, their own president. You were more famous, so therefore they tried to say, "No, I am more famous." So therefore they didn't want you to come.
So it's better in some cases to be a little cautious. Low-key. Slow. It's better to go slowly sometimes than very fast.
Yes. Not become aggressive.
No. But then again, not too slowly.
flood in our Argentina, we are no longer.
No more. So they arrested some of our Argentine devotees.
Five devotees were arrested.
Americans were not arrested.
So it's, we cannot bring any case?
Oh no, they are the government. The government has arrested them. There's no real law system there right now. It's a dictatorship, military dictatorship. Very volatile situation.
Like Russia.
Yeah, even in some ways worse because it is not at all stable. There's nothing set. It's just, it's chaotic.
Open murders. They have squads going around and taking people and just shooting.
Very dangerous.
Many prominent Argentine people are fleeing the country, going to Mexico and other places. And now they just uncovered a big plot where the Argentines were sending assassins to other countries to kill the Argentine refugees. So they have just uncovered a list of names. The economy of Argentina is almost 90% on beef production, animal slaughter.
The biggest beef country in the world.
They eat beef only.
And export all over the world.
Every country in the world.
I've seen it. That they eat beef in the morning, noon, and evening. I personally saw when I was in South America, that in these South American countries, they eat meat, sometimes three meals in a day. Of course, in America, they do it also. I remember in the restaurants in Mexico, they were doing that. Very big meat.
Gracias. Simply eating meat.
Meat and vodka.
Hmm?
Meat and vodka. There are no vegetables available. I read in the newspapers here in India, now Poland, they are putting up a vodka factory.
What is that?
Punjab. Like? It's a liquor made from potato.
Huh.
So now they're making a factory in Punjab.
Punjab?
Yes.
The government did it up.
Oh, yes. So they will make vodka here, and then for exporting to Poland, because the Polish people like vodka very much. So now they will produce in India.
The Polish embassy is there near our Calcutta.
Yes.
But seeing this business going on.
Side by side, we are on the opposite business.
Things are deteriorating everywhere.
Very quickly.
So, this will give impetus to Krishna consciousness. Dada-dada-hi dharma-sagrāṇava. Don't be disappointed. Krishna will act through this movement and kill them with demons. How it will be done, that you cannot know now, but it will be done. Let us remain true soldiers. That's all. I mean, if it is a fight, suppose we die in the fight. The fight means with determination, either to gain victory or die. Because it is fight against man. So why you can be afraid of being killed? When there is fight, One must know that either I'm going to be killed or get it. Jivova Morova. Those are devotees. Either they live or they die. The same thing. While they live, they are serving Krishna, and they die, they are serving Krishna. Jivova Morova. Taptadeyam punarjanma naitamameti. He goes to Krishna. So what is the law? We are working for Krishna. And if we die, we go to Krishna. So what is the loss? Same business.
It's no loss, it's just gain.
Jivo va moro. Either you live or you die. It doesn't matter. And for butcher, ma jiva, ma mara. Don't die, don't live. So long you are living, every morning you have to cut throat of so many. And if you die, you should go to hell and suffer for this cutting throat. So don't live, don't die. And for a devotee, live or die. And for prince, king's son, don't die. And for brahmachari, all night screaming. And they have to hear the Indian.
Purposely.
Because they know the Indian Hindus, they have got sentiment.
Why?
About
why?
They may go out.
He says every 5 years or so they move them to another area. They have to uproot everything and move somewhere else.
That means they'll be
very bad rooted in India. The blacks are still more bad rooted.
That government is going to be finished soon.
And I had to go to the Indian quarters and join as well. At least 10 miles. My God. To
yes.
The government.
So the Indian quarters are far off.
Still, that was for us. They have got cars, they have got business, they have got factories. Although they are harassed in so many ways, still, they are for us. They have got their shops and business house in Johannesburg, and they cannot remain there. They must go back. So that was a failure of Gandhi. Gandhi for 20 years agitated General Smarts. He was the head at that time. And he was beaten, he was so much trouble. Once upon a time Gandhi was captured and beaten. So severely that he was going to die immediately. Some English South African friend, he said, so Gandhi's life from this side is a failure. He could not achieve any success there. Then he thought that I should drive this English man from my country. He came here in 1970.
Gandhi was born in?
Gandhi is it's in Gujarati.
But he went to South Africa?
Yes. South Africa, he had no practice here.
Oh.
One attorney, he told me in Bombay, that your Gandhi was waiting for cases here, sitting in this chair. He was not even a successful lawyer. Then he got a case in Africa. He thought it wise, let me go there. And there, instead of becoming a lawyer, It became a political institute. So, to take equal status for the Indians, he fought them. And that was failure. Still it is going on. They are very determined not to give any advantage to anyone except these whites.
They know as soon as they give little leeway, then the whole government will be finished.
Very strict. It's still the purchase my books.
The whites. They were, I think the first time he went there, they even were bowing down in the airport. And this caused a big sensation, because never, even when big Indian gurus have come to South Africa, never have any whites bowed down. It was the first time that the whites bowed down to
him. I heard you in the class, the purchase book. Now they're selling books. I think my books are more important, which I give more concentration for pushing on and publishing. What do you think?
That is our weapons. They are our strength, they are our guidance, and they are our ammunition. Everything is based on these books. Everything. We are so...
I'm an Indian, a very learned scholar. In Chandigarh, he has given many books at him. What is that?
He said that there have been many commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, including Ramanuja, Madhva, and Shankara, and then he said Tilak and Gandhi. But of all of them, the commentary by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami is the greatest commentary from Yad University. And then he said later, he said, in this suffering that mankind, God has sent His Holiness, Bhaktivedanta Swami.
He said greater than the other acharyas.
Yeah, greater than Ramanuja.
And he's a big man.
He's a big man. Very good scholar. He goes outside for lecture.
Practically, all the devotees feel your presence through these books.
Yeah.
Their life is sustained with these books. These books and chanting and the deity worship sustain all the devotees in the world and bringing new devotees. Everyone we ask who joined this morning, before you joined, did you get a book? Yes. In every case I have seen that the first thing was the book. Then after reading, they became convinced, and then they joined.
Let us do our duty. Other things, Krishna will see. That gentleman has written Sarvabhari Bhaktivedanta will remember for centuries, making history. You know that?
Unsurpassed. Let us remember that it will be unsurpassed.
And many foreign scholars in France. In France, one professor has said,
Cynic
Aurobindo and Dr. Radhakrishna, they have compromised with the Western idea, but here is the real tradition of India. Actually, that's fair. All of them, they have tried to make husbands. probably really my idea was I shall present heritage. That's what gave this name, heritage. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jare Dakar Tare Gao Krishna, why shall I make what shall I? Present heritage. Any cost, I am still dictating. I go on dictating so long as I live. That's all. But this is a very nice program. Our part four. Practical.
Yes.
But if possible, Paramananda may come and teach them.
Yes. This is the most successful farm, at least in our society, from the production point of view.
Yes. Ah, he saw personally, he's working very hard.
Yeah.
And everyone is happy.
Yeah, everyone.
Mm-hmm. You are there?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, many. I always remember.